You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, committed to helping you become a soul on fire.
Welcome to episode 89 of the Igniting Souls podcast. Fear no one but truth. That phrase caused more concern with my editors than any other phrase in the book. Isn't that funny? In fact, that's what we're going to talk about when we first get started today. And that is, how do you know when you found your own voice? So important. I see this so many times with clients and people that I begin to work with, whether they're authors, whether they're business leaders. Look, many times people come in timid. They come in nervous. They come in anxious. They come in not really understanding with courage or clarity what their voice is, what their messaging is, what their brand is. And then I see this little change over a period of time working with them where suddenly they get to understand their voice for the first time. They become staunch in their position. They become belligerent almost. I would say they become committed and they defend their position. And I love that. I love that switch that I see within clients where I love coachable people. So I kind of went into this with my editor. I went in saying, I have no idea about young adult fiction. You are the master. You know what's going on. I trust your opinion. I went in very coachable, very teachable. That's the position that I think we should take. We should hire the best people that we can afford. And then when they give us feedback, they give us advice, we should take it. But here's what happened. My editor pushed back and she said, what do you mean fear no one but truth? I don't even understand that. What does that mean? And I said, by the way, it was Christine. She did some of the proofreading, and then it was Julie who did most of the editing. Here's the point. I responded to both of them. I said, thank you so much for that pushback, but here's why. And then I told them why I wanted that phrase, why that was key for everything, for the whole messaging of the book. And you might see, Carrie, aren't you making a big deal of this little thing? Well, I don't think so. Because words matter. Words absolutely matter. If you don't believe me, go on Facebook for a second and look at all the crazy politics going on, right? Words matter. They absolutely do. And they matter for books. They matter for businesses. They matter for messaging. And what I love is when we have to defend our position. Because what this does, what this made me do with my editors is it made me get really strong. And I said, maybe they have a point. Maybe I shouldn't put the phrase that way. Maybe I should change it. Maybe I need to make it more clear. Or I said, no, here's exactly why it needs to be that. And I went guns blazing, you know, in a kind way. But I went very adamant about my position. And I see this with clients all the time. The coachable, the teachable ones. Look, if you're not coachable and teachable, don't even hire a coach. Don't even work with a consultant. Don't even try to get help because you're not teachable. You're not coachable. But there's certain clients which I love, and those are the ones who are timid. Those are the ones who don't yet see their own greatness. They don't believe what's possible yet. They haven't believed in themselves yet fully. And they need belief. And why do I love this? Because that was me for so many years. I was so disbelieving of my own messaging, my own voice. And if you're listening to this podcast regularly, you know, you absolutely know that is my passion. To help you become a soul on fire, to help you understand who you are, your identity, why you're here, your purpose, where you're going, your direction. and then become a Soul on Fire, share your message with the world, and experience unhackability. And that's kind of where we are in this whole journey. And I am so excited for today's show. So let's jump right in. So today we are talking about Fear No One But Truth. We're going to get into chapter 6 in a little bit about the Elixir Project and what's Sienna doing. And if you haven't been tracking, she got kidnapped, we think, right? By, we don't know who exactly, but you're going to find that out in this chapter, and you find out a whole bunch. But first, I got to share some really cool wins. I had a blast with you all at the Igniting Souls Fellowship. Fantastic. Furthest person ever from France. So shout out to Rob. But we had such a great time with this panel on Friday. If you missed it, over 2,300 people have already seen the replay and the video. I taught about how to go viral with your book, brand, or business. And I kind of taught around three important ingredients that everybody who goes viral for more than 15 minutes of fame has. And I show you how to create that. And if you missed it, just go to Carrie Oberbrunner on Facebook, the author page. You'll see a replay, absolutely free. No worries. Super fun. Check it out. And the other cool thing is that you on this podcast helped me come up with this idea. A few episodes ago, I thought, let's have a live panel. And one of the things about me and about unhackability is this zero gap between ideation and implementation. In other words, I had the idea on a podcast, let's get a panel. Boom, called Renee or emailed Renee, whatever. Renee is fantastic. Renee Vidor, super awesome at facilitation, at introductions. I said, Renee, look, I got stuff rolling with the conference. I'm tracking with that, getting ready for the Igniting Souls Conference. Can you lead a panel during the second half of the teaching at the fellowship? And she did it. And she recruited Rob and Jeff and Erica and herself. And they had a blast asking questions related to going viral with your book, brand, or business, and then about Elixir Project. So it was super cool. And what I do when I teach is I teach you from a context. This isn't just theory, okay? I hate the reality for a lot of people when they teach theory and they say, hey, you know, I've never tried this, or I don't even know if it works, but hey, I think this might work. I think you should try this, but I'm not going to try it. Look, baloney. Don't listen to that. That's where we say someone is not matching the audio with the video. What I hear is not what I see them doing. My favorite book, James, in my favorite book, he talks about, look, if people say they have faith but don't show it with their works, they're a liar. They're lying, right? And the Epistle of John talks about that too. I love that, where it basically says you need to see the audio match the video. So that's what we did. We brought people in and we said, you guys are members of the Elixir Project VIP group, and you guys know that every Monday's Mission Monday, every Tuesday Tool Tuesday, Wednesday Word Wednesday, Thursday Thankful Thursday, Friday Facebook Friday, Saturday Strategic Saturday, Sunday Sneak Peek Sunday. And you guys know that I've been doing this now for months, 3 months straight, and I'm going another 3 months. Why? Because I want you to go big. Seriously, I want you to go big with your book, brand, or business. And as I'm finding out secrets, as I'm finding out strategies, tips, tricks, and tools, I want to share that with you. Cutting-edge stuff, stuff that is fresh, stuff that is an experiment, stuff that is that could fail, but let me be the test dummy. Let me show you what if it works or not. And the stuff that doesn't, I'll tell you that too. So it has been a blast, the Elixir Project VIP group. And that's what we did. We brought people up. They shared. They asked questions, really good questions, ones that forced me to stop and say, wow. And here's the thing. I had no idea what questions. I think there's something to that. I think you should risk next time you speak. Seriously. Everyone's kind of got their talk. Everyone's got their spiel. Everyone's got the safe boundaries that they've traveled before. What I love to do is carve new neural pathways, neuroplasticity. What you need to do is you need to put yourself out there. Why? It makes it fun. You show up in a different way. You ever have a professor who dusts off the 20-year-old lesson or lecture and he could say it in his sleep? There's nothing organic. There's nothing alive about that type of lecture. You want to go on the edge. You want to take risks. You want your brain to show up in what's called the deep now. The deep now is where you have to be fully present because you could fail and you don't have the ability or luxury to multitask your talk. You just can't. And I love this. I love this so much. I'm getting excited here. But here's the point. Here's the point, folks. We started out by saying, find your voice. We started out by saying a sign of finding your voice is when you have to defend your position. We talked about being coachable, about being teachable, how that makes you a good client. We talked about hiring the best and why that's so important to the level that you can afford. Why? Because as my father said, if you hire the best, you only cry once, right? If you hire the worst, you cry when you pay money, invest money, then you cry when it's an inferior product or service. So with Elixir Project, I went all out. I said, I'm going to have the best proofreader I can find, the best editor I can find, the best video trailer I can find. Look, was it the best in the world? No, I'm sure there's others out there who are the top, top, top. But look, I said, I'm going to find my best. And I went out and grilled these people. I always encourage you to test people. You don't want to just say, I just met a guy who did this recently. He said, well, I met this guy and I kind of loved what he was saying. And I kind of just invested fully in. And I said, well, how's it working for you? And he said, man, this guy is not delivered. This guy is not fulfilling his contract. And I thought, oh man, why did you do that? So what I do is with Julie, I said, look, Julie, what's your rate per hour? And she told me a rate. I'll say, you know what? I'll pay you more than that. And she said, what? What are you talking about? I said, I'll pay more than that, but I need this 10-page edit done quickly. And why? Because I want to know if she's the one. Is she the one or not? And if she's not the one, I'd rather pay a little bit more to find out faster. What a lot of people do is they don't even want to find out if the person is the one, right? They'll say, oh, you know, what's your fee? Okay, put me in the line. Okay, 4 months later when you have time, then I find out you're not the one. And now you're 4 months behind, not me. I pay to get to the front of the line, pay to get clarity fast, and then you can make decisions. Okay, your life is short. I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine who passed away, Brennan. Brennan passed away last week. Woke up, looked at my Facebook, 43-year-old guy, boom, dead, Lyme's disease, right? Horrible story. I mean, just super sad, right? We were camp counselors together at Camp Timber Lee in Wisconsin. I'm going to give some shout outs to some of my former places. Brennan was awesome. Okay. Brennan was a guy who came around me at a time in my life where I had a lot of deep questions. And Brennan didn't judge. He listened. He helped me navigate, you know, questions about, you know, is this girl the right girl? Is this major the right major? Is this path the right path? Just stuff, you know, is what God says true, you know, big stuff. And Brennan just listened. And Brennan was fantastic. And, you know, I remember having to borrow his car one day and him just being generous with that. Just a great guy. Anyways, I woke up, Brennan's died, right? So what did I do? I jumped on my little iPhone, shot a video, sent it to his wife. Because I think that's so important. In fact, I'm going to go off a little bit here. Really important stuff, though. We don't tell stories enough about people. And everyone honors somebody when they die, right? But what I wanted to do is I can't go to Wisconsin for that funeral. He wasn't like, you know, my brother. I haven't seen him in years. But here's the point. He meant something to me. He meant something dearly to me. So what can I do? I can shoot a quick video. So I shot a quick private video, told stories about Brennan, about how much he means to me, how much I care for him, his impact in my life, made the video for his kids, for his wife. Just took me, what, 5 minutes? Sent it over there. And my parents text me on Saturday and they say, Carrie, we just saw, you know, Brennan's family and they said how important that video was and how significant that video is. Look, folks, do this. Okay, this is what we live in today with technology. If you can't get over to a funeral or, you know, some kind of wake or viewing because you are just out of commission or something like that. Again, Brennan, haven't seen him. Probably have seen him, you know, once in the last 10, 15 years, but he meant something to me. And so because somebody means something to me, you need to invest in that person. You need to tell their story, honor their memory. And anyway, I'm just encouraging you right now. That would be awesome to do that. What a challenge. Pull out your iPhone, record to somebody who you haven't talked to in a while, but they meant something to you. And hopefully they're still living, and hopefully you can shoot that over and say, you know what? No strings attached, nothing, no agenda. I just thought of you today. You know, this little soda can reminded me of you and how we grew up in that neighborhood and drank this soda together, whatever. Look, we need to honor people more. We need to share memories. Why? Because legacy matters. Okay, legacy matters a lot. Here's the point. Stream of consciousness. I love to share on this podcast just what's on my heart. You know, I have a frame of what I'm going to say, but this is a laboratory. This is an experiment. People see 2 months from now, 5 months from now, 2 years from now, they see stuff that we talked about, you and me, on this podcast, and they see it out as a product, as a service, as a retreat, as an experience. Why? Because I have a safe place called this podcast, and I have a trusted friend called you, and you're able to let me speak things out. You're able to let me share what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, and I love it. So just a deep, deep honor to you. You are important to me. So thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you so much. We are in conference mode. We are, I don't know, 10 days away. Can you believe that? Oh my gosh. I mean, I literally freak out when I think about that. But we are, you know, we have one ticket left. I went to bed last night, woke up this morning. We only had two tickets left before I went to bed. One of those was purchased from somebody, I don't even know, I think like Texas or something. So shout out to Texas. We got one ticket left. And here it is, the Igniting Souls Conference, something that I've been planning in a way for over 300 days of the year. So excited. I looked at the people, the names of the people that are coming, and I thought, wow, look at this list of, these are world changers. These are rock stars. These are people who are showing up, filled up, people who are hungry to grow, hungry to learn. They want to become unhackable. We have such a fantastic agenda plan for them. I can't wait. This is where I just cannot sleep. I do sleep, trust me. That's why I'm so glad I'm married to Kelly. She's fantastic. She says, look, man, it's getting late. You got to go to bed. And, you know, last night we were watching Little House on the Prairie. Yes, I know. It's one of the family bonding things we did, but we had a great afternoon. Little campfire in the back, had you know, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law over, their kids, had a great nice meal after we worshiped in the morning at church, and then we just kind of had a low-key afternoon and watched Little House on the Prairie. And then I kind of crushed some work late last night to watch while the Packers were winning. It was fantastic. It was great. But where was I going with that? I don't even know. I do not even know. Let's get into the content, okay? This is fun. You guys are great. All right, here we go. Chapter 6, I knew we needed a chapter that would start filling in the pieces. You cannot write a fiction book where it's just vague, abstract, metaphor, cloaking the mystery the whole way through. You have to begin letting some details out. So in Chapter 6, you begin to find out a little bit more about Sienna, and you begin to find out about truth. And for all the believers in the room, you remember the tagline is everything can be hacked, even the truth. Now, if you're not a person of faith, that's okay. You know, hang with us on the journey. We're having fun. We'll chat. You know, I respect that position, and we're having a good time in this dialogue. But here's the point. If you're a believer, you know that somebody really important said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? That was, of course, Jesus, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And then you look at the tagline, everything can be hacked, even the truth. What? Am I saying that Christ can be hacked? Am I saying that God can be hacked? That's a question. That's a question, right? I mean, this book is entertaining. This book is, on a surface level, fun, right? car scenes, chases, fighting, technology. I mean, you name it. It's eye candy. It's ear candy. It's a crazy journey. It's a near future thriller. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear on a massive level, this is a philosophical book. This is a book that, yes, is young adult fiction, but it brings up major issues. Can we hack God, technologically speaking? Are we close to being hacking God? I mean, I don't even want to start the conversation right now because I have too much that I want to share. And I kind of want you to read the book first before I just start giving you my little opinion on stuff. I'd rather you read the book and then we dialogue about it. But here's the point. This is going to bring up some crazy dialogue because my beliefs are, they might blow your mind. I mean, seriously, what we are knocking on the door to and through and of, I'm going to share all this sometime with you. Kind of an after talk, after effect, but not right now. It's too early to talk about. So let's go right back to chapter 6. You find Sienna. She's having this flashback, right, where she is referencing a time where she was at the dentist with her uncle Kai, and so something happens really significant there. They find out something about her and her personality. And then you see Sienna waking up. Her other three friends are still asleep in this transport vehicle, and we can't quite tell who's driving the vehicle yet. You find out in the chapter. I'm not going to share here. You download it free. ElixirProjectBook.com/free. Grab the chapter for the week. But what you find out is that Kieran pops in a DVD or a video, whatever you want to call it, whatever. He presses play. And you meet Tilda. You meet this spokesperson for Elixir named Tilda. And people have read this in the Elixir VIP group, and they started to share with me, I think this character looks like this person. I think this character is this actress. I think this character fits on this person. I think you were inspired to create this character by this person. And I love it because they're weighing in with their creativity, their thoughts. They're challenging me. They're calling me out. They're stepping on my creativity. So you are. Thank you for shaping my thoughts, my views. It's powerful stuff. But you meet Tilda. And about Tilda, I'm just going to read a little excerpt here, I think, if I can. But we'll get there. Tilda was inspired, absolutely, by somebody that I know as an actress. I don't know her, but I mean, I know of her. And yeah, I absolutely envisioned this person the whole time as I was writing this. And she's intimidating and she's scary and she's deep and she basically just extracts truth from people, extracts fear out of people. But let me just read a little line here that you might like, speaking about Tilda. So we're getting close, and she says, this is Sienna speaking about Tilda in the dystopian electronic music video she's seen with a drone that's flying over buildings, and then it zooms in on her as she's looking over this cityscape. She turns and from the railing, and her cheekbones protrude from her thin face. Her sandy-colored hair flows high above her forehead. Hints of unkind years infect the corners of her eye. But then I find them, or maybe they find me. Unmistakably blue, ignited by a bottomless fire. Her gaze pierces me, unwrapping every fiber and undressing every mask. Then she speaks again, her voice a blend of seduction and mystery, dripping with hypnotic intonation. That's just the setup for Tilda. And then she starts sharing about Elixir. So I am having a blast in this whole process. Again, never wanted to be a young adult fiction writer, never thought I would be. furthest thing from my mind to write fiction ever. I got to give a shout out to Peter Pavarini, a guy who was on my board. I found the date. He actually challenged me to write fiction. He asked me a question in 2009. I laughed at him. I said, whatever, you know, if God opens that door, yeah, I'll do it. And I was thinking at that time, whatever, no way, never in my life. And here I am today, a young adult fiction author. So be careful what you tell people you won't do. Be careful what your energy resists against. If Peter would have said something, I would have said, maybe Peter. And it would have gone in one ear, out the other. But I had a visceral reaction to when he suggested I write fiction. When you have a visceral reaction, when someone suggests you do something, when someone has an idea for you, stop and just say, isn't that interesting? Because what's behind that is energy. What's behind that is a story. It is. Ooh, I like this. I like where we're going. This is where it happens on the podcast. All right, hang with me. So we're going to bundle a little takeaway here, okay? When you have a visceral reaction, when someone has a suggestion for you, stop and unpack the story behind that. That's the thought of the day for me, okay? So thank you for listening to episode 89. Remember, fear no one but truth. You'll need to keep diving deep to really unpack what that means. And if you're coming to Igniting Souls Conference, hashtag Igniting Souls 16, let me know, because there's already a big thread building from all kinds of you crazy, fantastic people. I guess Roddy just booked his taxi from when he lands from Scotland at the airport. So we got people driving from across town, from across the sea, from across the world. One ticket left. Does it have your name on it? If you're not already registered, that's the question of the day. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. Be a soul on fire today and just keep making it happen. I'm going to leave you with a thought of the day. Here's the last thought of the day. I made a video about it this morning and it's been getting a good response, but here's what it is. It says, desire without deadlines are simply a pipe dream. Desire without deadlines is simply a pipe dream. And that's what I've been thinking about. And that's what I'm going to teach on in one of the sessions at the conference. So, hey, if you got desire, attach a deadline to that thing now. And give me a shout out on Twitter, on Facebook. Let me know what your deadline is. I'd love to hear it. I see a bunch of you have already done that this morning. You've told me when your book's due, when your business is starting. Make it happen. I want to hear it. Something happens when you put that out in the world and you say, hey world, here's my deadline. So go ahead and do that. We'd love to hear it. We'd love to learn more about you. And if you have not done a podcast review on iTunes, it is free and it helps us get the word out. So go to iTunes, just click ratings and review if you could be so kind if you haven't done one yet. If you know someone who listens and they haven't done it, tell them. Be like, what is up?